This Q&A program is brought to you by the Capital Group of Companies, Capital Air, Capital Decor, and Caterquip for the benefit of the Ummah.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يقول الله تعالى: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: فإنما شفاء العي السؤال. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International and the listeners of Sirius FM to another edition of Q&A on this day, the 21st Safar 1441, kindly and generously brought to you by the Capital Group with the esteemed Amir and resident Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah, whom we have online at the moment. If you have a question, please address it to the WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Saab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Khalid. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much to all our technicians and engineers. Barakallahu feehim as well. And we welcome all the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
The first question, Mufti Saab, is: can we deliver the Jummah Khutbah in English or any other language besides the Arabic language?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah Jalla wala informs us in Surah 62, Suratul Jumu'ah, verse number 9. First, O ilah, zikrillah, when the adhan is given and rendered on Jumu'ah, idha nudiya lis-salati mi yawm al-jumu'ati, first, O ilah, zikrillahi wa dharul bay. So you must hasten towards the remembrance of Almighty Allah. The zikr of Almighty Allah refers to the khutbah and the salat. Regarding the khutbah and the sermon that is rendered after the second adhan, remember these all four schools are unanimous. The fatwa is this: it is not permissible except in the Arabic language. Many people say that this khutbah is just a lecture and therefore it should be permissible. Well, that is incorrect. It's not just a lecture. Almighty Allah calls it zikrullah. There are conditions there. Remember, you need both khutbahs. Secondly, it must be given in time, that is after zawal. Third, remember, the person who's delivering the khutbah will be in hudu. So many conditions and so forth and so on. So you can't just deem it and call it a lecture. So therefore, if you want an academic discussion on this topic, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Hafizahullah has written a wonderful book on this topic and mentioned the references of all four schools, the Malikis, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, and said that it is not permissible that the khutbah be rendered in any language except in the Arabic language. Can the Jummah khutbah be delivered in a language beside the Arabic language by Mufti Taqi Usmani? And the original book is in Urdu but translated in English. Let me just give you one easy example. On the 1st of Ramadan, the year 20 after Hijrah, so that is 1420 years ago, we see Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his colleagues, remember, they conquered Egypt. And Egypt was not a country that were Muslims, or their language was not Arabic at that time. But such a great impact, the beloved Sahaba, the companions and students of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam made on them. They embraced Islam, they changed their culture, they changed their lingua franca, and you see Arabic was, is, will always be that the language, inshallah. So we see that that is what Islam and Muslims will do, that we need to influence people, not get influenced by people. If you're going to allow, hypothetically, for argument's sake, that the khutbah must be delivered, rendered in any other language, in English and Afrikaans and in Portuguese and Spanish and what have you. So remember, people will tomorrow demand, let's change the language of the Salat and the Namaz. Let's change the Adhan and so forth. It's happened in Turkey during the time of Ataturk la'anahullah. So therefore, no one is allowed to fiddle with the Sharia. The Sharia is in its pristine form, and therefore we say that the khutbah must be rendered in the Arabic language, and that is the fatwa and verdict according to all four schools. Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair. In our next question, the questioner wants to know, who was Sheikh Abdul Ghaffur Abbasi rahimahullah?
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Abdul Ghafur Abbasi was one of the sage of the age, a great wali of his time, there in Medina Munawwara, buried there in Baqi. And the old people who know him, they would tell you that when they would become in his contact, he would show them how to make zikrullah and the remembrance of Almighty Allah. They would feel as though as their hearts are also, you must remember, that making the zikr of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. Here, opposite my house, not far from here, that the Khanka is there, and Hafiz Abdul Rahman, that he was the great, great ustad and teacher of hundreds and thousands of students and ulama. Some of them today have become big, big sheikhs and great, great people. So his sheikh was Sheikh Abdul Ghafur Abbasi, rahimahullah. Our Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsab, his father, Hazrat Mohana Abdul Hadi, rahimahullah, his sheikh was Sheikh Abdul Ghafur Abbasi, rahimahullah. Then you see that Hazrat Mohana Zubair Ali, rahimahullah, he's one of his sheikhs, was also Sheikh Abdul Ghafur Abbasi. Many of us remember Sheikh Lutfullah, who visited South Africa on various occasions. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. He is also buried in Baqi. He is also connected to Sheikh Abdul Ghafur Abbasi. He's a son-in-law. So it shows that such luminaries were his students or his murids and disciples and so forth. So when a person gets connected to these great, great personalities, then inshallah, if one is sincere, you will find a huge transformation in one's life, because remember, now we are connecting ourselves to the markaz, to the headquarters, meaning that through these great, great personalities, there's a chain going straight to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is why we need to purify and cleanse ourselves externally and internally, that the jealousy, the pride, the love we have for the world and so forth. So when a person does that, then inshallah he will find halawatul iman, the sweetness of iman.
The next questioner asks, what is the Sharia ruling if one passes away on a ship?
Remember that if a person passes away on a ship, and this has happened from time immemorial, if you just turn our pages in the past 40, 50 years, you will see Hazrat Mohana Qamruz Zaman Sahib, Hafidhullah, who visited us here in South Africa. On Tuesday night, we were there with Hazrat Mohana Qamruz Zaman Sahib. He is well in his 80s, 85, 86 years old, and that is Gregorian calendar. If you take Islamic calendar, almost 90. So he, Shaykh Washah Wasiullah Rahimahullah, and he passed away in a ship in the middle of the ocean, and he made dua also, Ya Allah, let me pass away in such a place that the people will not come there and make ruku and sajda and so forth. You know, today people many a time that they go overboard because they love their teacher or Shaykh or whatever you. So he passed away in the ship, and then whatever they could do, ghusl, kafan, everything, salatul janazah, and then they buried him, meaning they put the body in the water. So if you can reach the shore, and you know it's not after 10 days and 20 days, but like in a few hours, then obviously you go to the shore, and everything will take place. But if you're in the middle of the ocean and so forth, then you must remember that everything will happen there as far as possible. Second issue, whilst we are speaking on this topic, we also need to take cognizance of the fact today so many people are going for different cruises, and they're going to this island or this country or that country, and the aim is just a cruise. Remember, that is absolutely haram. The amount of nudity, the amount of intermingling of the genders, the food and the dancing, the wine, dine and swine environment. So obviously from A to Z, all that would be haram and not acceptable. Yes, some places you have to travel by boat, by ship. People are going to study. People are going out in the path of Allah and so forth. And the first naval fleet to go out in the path of Almighty Allah, this distinction goes to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Remember that during the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, this naval fleet went, and in Bukhari Sharif it is mentioned that those are the people, remember, faqad awjabu, for them all Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala has give them, grant them forgiveness, grant them Jannah. So this is one unique feature of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. The first naval fleet in the history of Islam goes to Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhuma.
Jazakallah. The next questioner asks, when did Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah come to South Africa?
Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya nawwarallahu marqadahu visited South Africa in Ramadan 1981, and that was the last Ramadan of Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya nawwarallahu marqadahu. And I was on Thursday night, this past Thursday night, Laylatul Jumu'ah, there in White River, and Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayhis, Senior Khalifa Maulana Muhammad Gardi is there, and he was explaining to me how Hazrat Sheikh came to South Africa, what conditions Hazrat Sheikh Nawwarallahu Marqadahu stipulated. I'll just mention one, that Hazrat will not accept gifts from anybody and presents from anybody. These are the awliyaullah, the ahlullah, the khasane khuda. Remember, they want the people's hearts must be connected to Almighty Allah, and people must come out of the excessive love of this world and hubbul mal. So that is why they stipulate these type of conditions and so forth. Then a remarkable incident, Maulana Muhammad Gardi Hafidahullah of White River mentioned, and that is that Hazrat said, "Eh, Pyare, that, oh my beloved," this was whilst they were there in Stenger, "that after Eid, when Etikaf is finished, then I want to come to your place." Meaning that there in White River I will come, but don't inform anybody now immediately. Lo and behold, they chartered the plane and they came there. No masjid, no madrasa, nothing in 1981. So meaning a jungle, if you say it was just like barren land, few houses, few shops. Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya nawwarallahu marqadahu cried, made dua at a tennis court there at the White River. And Ya Allah, let your rahmat and let your special mercy descend on this part of the world. Lo and behold, in the mid-90s, the masjid was built, and we had a program there Thursday night called Masjidul Rahma, and the madrasa is functioning, and in the surroundings where the indigenous people are, 55 madrasas, maktabs are running, subhanallah. So you should go and visit these places, and Maulana Gardi, Sir Muhammad Gardi, will give you all the details. So Hazrat Sheikh Dawood Allah Marqadahu goes back from South Africa and to Zambia, Chipata, and then back there. So in Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Sheikh passes away on the 1st of Sha'aban, and that year is 1982, buried in Baqi. So what do we say of such personalities? Remember that their works, whether in Urdu or in Arabic or English translation, are maqbool throughout the whole world. We travel to so many countries, alhamdulillah, and you will find the work Fazaila A'mal and so forth. They are translated in so many languages. South America, you will find it's translated in Spanish, and they use it daily. In Brazil, in Portuguese, and they are reading from there. And the book Hazrat Sheikh wrote, Ojazul Masalik, you know, on what time I'm Malik. The Maliki scholars came to Hazrat Sheikh and kissed his hand and said, Hazrat, we learned so much about the Maliki jurisprudence through your book, Ojazul Masalik. So these are the real, you know, awliyaullah. They are the people who gave their life in the service of deen. Wa tu'izzu man tashaa, wa tuzillu man tashaa. Allah gave them so much honor in this world and in the year after. So alhamdulillah that these are our great, great pious predecessors. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala elevate their rank and status and give us the ability to walk in their footsteps.
Jazakumullah khair. The next questioner states, we were invited for seafood at a place where they serve liquor. Is it haram or makruh?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala has condemned alcohol from A to Z. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. There's alcohol, gambling, everything. These are impure and the handiwork of shaitan. You must abstain from there. لَأَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you are successful. And remember that whether it is alcohol, whether it is interest, these are two industries which Islam has condemned A to Z. Now let us go further and see how Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam elaborated on this very topic. What did Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, whosoever believes in Almighty Allah in the last day, fala yajlis ala ma'idatin tudaru alayha al-khamr, he should not even frequent the place where alcohol is served. Take South Africa, take other countries. You have so many choices where there's no wine and no swine and no alcohol served. So what need is there for us to go to such a restaurant? Do we just want to impress people, or we just want to massage our ego and show off that we went to this restaurant or that place and saw that place? So definitely not permissible for a Muslim. Why does Islam say? I give you the logical perspective as well. We must have that, we must detest it. When we were growing up and we were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I grew up in an African township, a location, and they would drink alcohol and just throw the bottles anywhere and so forth. So remember our parents, Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus, they would tell us, because we are ma'asum, innocent children, don't even kick that bottle or touch that bottle. So we must have that hatred for this haram things and alcohol intoxicants. When we go and entertain ourselves or our guests to such places, we are now desensitizing ourselves and making ourselves, no, this is halal friendly. This is another satanic term, remember, which the Ummah is getting deceived by it today, that they are saying halal friendly. friendly, meaning in that corner there the food is halal, but on the other side things are haram, the wine and the dine and the swine is going on there. So remember, a true Muslim who has Iman in his heart, who loves Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, who loves Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will never enter such places. We need to consume that halalan tayyiba, which is lawful and pure and wholesome. Then we will be motivated, inspired to do the righteous deeds as enshrined in the noble Quran. Consume that which is pure and wholesome and do the righteous deeds. The converse will also reapply, and that is when we go to places where wine and swine and all these type of things are served, then we will not be motivated for righteous deeds and towards good actions. Rather, we will be incited towards vices and evil, and that's exactly what we are seeing today. May Almighty Allah protect us from all type of harm and all type of haram places.
The next question says, Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab. If a man passes away, leaving behind his wife, sons, daughters, parents and siblings, does his parents and siblings inherit from his estate?
Always remember, if you have a proper Islamic, you know, system, that where you are, all the parties are Muslims, then always, this is a golden rule of the Islamic law of succession, the Islamic law of inheritance. Irrespective of who passes away, whether it's a male or female, if the father is alive of the deceased, the biological father, not adopted or stepfather, and the biological son, any one of them, so both of them or any one of them is survived, and meaning the other is the biological father or biological son, then remember, the siblings of the deceased all are deprived and none of them will inherit anything. Now let us take this situation here. We see that the husband has passed away and then the wife is there. She will receive 12.5%. The parents are there. They will receive 1/6, 1/6 each, so collectively 1/3. And then the residue and remainder will go to the biological sons, biological daughters, and the ratio will be 2 to 1. So that is how the inheritance will work, and all the siblings of the deceased are deprived. They will say, Inna lillahi wa inna raji'un, and not receive anything. Yes, that person, whilst he or she was alive, they knew that their siblings will not inherit, so they could use provision number 3, and that is to make wasiyah, to bequeath for their brothers or sisters, all of them or any one of them. A friend in need is a friend indeed. So maybe one of the brothers, sisters, siblings really helped them during difficult times, so they could bequeath for them, so that would be permissible. Similarly, we must remember that when it comes to inheritance, then the person inheriting must be a Muslim. But when it comes to wasiyah, to bequeath, so then you could bequeath to non-Muslims as well. A person embraced Islam, some family members are Muslim, some people are non-Muslim. So inheritance is only for Muslim, but to bequeath, that will be for Muslim or non-Muslim. Let's turn the scenario the other way around. So yeah, the wife passed away and she left her husband, parents, children. So what happens in that case? So the husband will inherit 25% and the parents will receive 1/3, 1/6, 1/6, that is collectively 1/3 for the father and mother of the deceased. And then the residue remainder will go to the children, the sons and daughters, and the grandchildren, the siblings, all of them will be deprived, and the ratio will be 2 to 1 for the son compared to the daughter.
The next question states, a man marries a woman with sons and daughters from a previous marriage. Do these stepchildren of his inherit, or must he bequeath something to them?
Remember, stepchildren do not inherit, foster children do not inherit, adopted children do not inherit. When you study Islamic law of succession, Islamic law of inheritance, then remember the asbab and the reasons for inheriting are 2. One is blood lineage and the blood relationship, and second will be ziwaj, that is marriage. So husband passes away, wife inherits, wife passes away, husband inherits. So let's look at this. In Islam, we will say when ABC male or XYZ female passes away, first will be the burial funeral expenses. Remember the guests coming to the house and so forth. You can't use anything from the estate of the deceased for the entertainment and hospitality of guests. That's haram, not permissible. That the heirs must use their own money. Second will be the debts of the deceased, whether it is company debts, corporate debts, personal debts. All that must be settled immediately as soon as possible. Justice delayed is justice denied. Third one is wasiyah. Wasiyah is to bequeath. And in a case like that, you want to bequeath for your stepchildren or your adopted children or foster children or whoever. So remember, that would be permissible, but it's not a must. It's not compulsory or mandatory. It is just the goodness of your heart and you are being generous to them. Two conditions there, that number one, it must not exceed 1/3 of the total estate. And second, the person for whom you are bequeathing must not be an heir. And third condition also you can add, that person must not be such that we are having a war with him and so forth. Today the Muslims have wars in different places in the apartheid regime of Israel. So a person cannot go and bequeath something to a person who's fighting us or fighting our Muslims. So we need to be clear on that issue as well. So that will be the conditions. And the fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So once you look at the system, then you will get a better understanding how the Islamic law of inheritance works.
Jazakallah. The next questioner asks, what must we read for rain, as there is a shortage of rainfall in some parts of South Africa?
Yes, there's an acute shortage of rain in various parts of South Africa. If you know these places, you will find in Sunderland already some animals are dying. We were there in the Kruger Park on Friday. One of the brothers insisted he'll take us, so we went with Allah's help. And we saw the lions and the elephants and the rhino and hippo and various things. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for all of us in South Africa and all parts of the world where there is an acute shortage of rain. So that guide we had, Mr. Pete, his name. So I asked him that, you know, I see that the rivers all seem so dry. He said, if by end of November, we're in October now, so he said, by end of November, if no rain comes, Allah forbid, then many animals will start dying there in the Kruger Park and so forth. So we beg and urge every one of the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Radio Al Ansar International, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, read with me, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna. Oh, beloved Allah, send your special mercy upon us, send your rain upon us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we make istighfar, astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. Make abundant istighfar enshrined in the noble Quran. In Surah Nuh, Almighty Allah states, Istaghfiru Rabbakum, innahu kana ghaffara. Turn to Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, and you will find that Almighty Allah, the first thing mentioned, Yubdi Almighty Allah states, Yursili sama alaykum midrara, Almighty Allah will send the beneficial rain. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِهُ وَبَنِينَ. Almighty Allah will increase your wealth, and Allah will bless you with children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتِهُ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And Almighty Allah will bless you with the gardens of paradise and the streams and rivulets of Jannah. Surah 71, Surah Nuh, verses 11 and 12. O Ummah, let us read Allahumma aghithna. Let abundantly, istighfar abundantly, seeking the forgiveness and pardon from Almighty Allah. Give out charity daily, 1 rand, 2 rand. Ya Allah, wa adkhilna fi rahmatik, wa anta rahmur rahimin. Ya Allah, Surah 7, verse 151. Surah 7, verse 151. Wa adkhilna fi rahmatik. Include us in your special, special mercy. Allah called His rain His mercy. وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَةً, as mentioned. And Ya Allah, whilst You are the most merciful one to show mercy, so take our ma'asum children, make dua with them, O people, through their barakah and blessing. Allah Jalla Wala will bless us with His great, great rain. We see in some parts in Cape Town and so forth, they had some good rain. Yeah, in Gauteng, Pumalanga, various other parts, remember Northern Cape and so forth, they need, and we all need and require the rain. So read Salatul Tawbah, beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and we all need to stay away from vices and sin, and in that way that will attract the mercy of Almighty Allah. May Almighty Allah grant us tawfiq.
Insha'Allah, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, Radio Al Ansar International and Sirius FM, we will now go on a break, and insha'Allah, we will resume after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we welcome the listeners to Markaz Sahaba Online, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah, Al Ansar International and Sirius FM, to another edition of the Q&A, or to this next segment of the Q&A, presented by Mufti Abdul, presented by myself, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. And on the line, we have Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein. Our first question in this session is, I would like to know what is the virtues of the Holy Quran, as I am a teacher of the Holy Quran.
MashaAllah, may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make us teachers of the Noble Quran, or the students of the Noble Quran. When one studies the functions of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah 62, Suratul Jumu'ah, verse 2, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions, you Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Jalla Wala sent you, O Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, to recite the Quran Sharif to them. So imagine that our asatiza, our hifz classes, our primary madrasas, the maktab, so the Honorable Ustad is teaching the students how to read the Quran, the very function of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa yuzakihim, and to purify them, and that is for externally from kufr and shirk, blasphemy and polytheism, internally from pride, arrogance and so forth and so on. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and to teach them the Noble Quran and the tafsir of it, the meaning of it, and the wisdom, the sunnah mubarakah of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the functions of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا, I have been sent as a teacher, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. One hadith comes to mind, mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Khay qawla nabiyul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allama. The best of you are those people who are learning the Quran and then you teach it to others. That are the best. People can say whatever they want to. We don't have to worry about people and their unsavory comments and remarks. This is what Rahmatul Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This hadith reported, narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Go to the various asanid, the various chains of transmission. When this hadith is reported in Tirmidhi Sharif, you will see an Abi Abdirrahman, an Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. So Abu Abdirrahman, the father of Abdurrahman, who is this person? Abdullah bin Habib al-Sulami. Go see in Tirmidhi Sharif and go see the commentary Tuhfatul Ahwadi and all the other commentaries, you will find it there. He says, when I read this hadith, aqa adani, It made me sit here and teach the Quran Sharif. Teach the Quran Sharif, make people hafiz. Teach the Quran Sharif, the tafsir of it. Teach the Quran Sharif, the ahkam of it, the rules. Anything related, connected to the noble Quran. So the ulama went and counted. They said he, Abdullah bin Habib Sulami rahimahullah, started teaching Quran Sharif to his students during the time of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, right till the time of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. They say if you take the starting time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, and the ending time of Hajjaj, then it works out to 72 years. The man taught for 72 years if you take the maximum. If you take minimum, the time from when Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's demise took place, with the ending that year, and if you take the starting time of Hajjaj, then it works out to 38 years. So let's take the in-between, 50 years or more. So subhanallah, this was the love, the dedication, devotion they had for the noble Quran. 50 years. We have ulama in our midst and hufaz in our midst here. Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman rahimahullah for more than 50 years teaching the noble Quran. Hazrat Maulana Ismail Katrada hafizahullah, now they in Freyheit teaching the Quran Sharif. His sons, daughters, all of them hafiz, some ulama as well. You are my honorable Ustad, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, Hafizahullah, 50 years plus. So imagine that, who will do that? The people who have this hadith right in front of them. Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allama. Mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif. The best of you are those who learn the Qur'an Sharif, the kalam and the direct speech of Almighty Allah, and they teach it to others. May Almighty Allah make us of those who are teaching the noble Qur'an and learning it and teaching it to others. Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us tawfiq.
What are the virtues of reading the Asma'ul Husna?
Oh, mashallah, excellent question, Mawlana Khalid. They'll tell the listeners 011-854-3132, mashallah, that you can, inshallah, send in all the queries you want to. And in that way there, that whether it is WhatsApp or whether it is SMS, and those who are beyond the borders, just put the prefix there, +27, and Mawlana Khalid will mention the numbers, inshallah, that how you can send and present your questions. Almighty Allah has commanded us in the noble Quran, chapter 7, surah 7, verse 180, walillahil asma'ul husna, and Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala has wonderful, beautiful names, so invoke and call Almighty Allah by those names. Imagine Allah is commanding us. Today we learn the names of the soccer players and cricket players and rugby players, and Allah alone knows how many other shaitans we will learn about them. No benefit, nor in this world, nor in the year after. Learn the beautiful, wonderful attributes and names of Almighty Allah. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahsaha dakhal al jannah, who memorizes the 99 beautiful names of Allah Jalla wa Ala, who reads it. So memorizing is better, but you read it looking inside also. That's excellent as well. Then you enter Jannah and paradise. And every name and attribute of Almighty Allah has a potent message and a powerful meaning. I just give you three examples. Today, people always complain about the downturn in the economy. Read, O Ummah, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhab. Open Surah number 38, and that is Surah Sword, verse 35. You find the beautiful, wonderful dua of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam after he reconstructed Masjid al-Aqsa. And then one of the duas and supplications, Rabbi habli mulka la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me such a kingdom so vast and magnificent it must be. No one ever after me must have such a kingdom so big and vast and magnificent. Innaka antal wahhab. You are the best of givers. So we want something of this dunya. Ya wahhabu, ya wahhab. Husband, wife, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, brothers, sisters, parents, children. It's like a civil war going on. People are fighting, people are swearing, abusing one another. Ya wadudu, ya wadudu, ya wadud. Ya Allah, you are the best one to create love. Unite our hearts, Ya Allah, so that we have unity of thought. We all are going in the same direction according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Imagine these are two lessons. Third one, people are ill, people are sick, crying in hospital and clinic because of the pain and anxiety. So read, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu, Ya Salam. Ya Allah, grant this person salamti. Give them complete cure. Zahiran wa batina. Allahumma shfihim shifa'an kamila. Oh Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, give them that speedy recovery. So every attribute, name of Almighty Allah, study it, analyze it, read it, and lo and behold, you have examinations, oh our students and all my brothers, sisters. So what you going to read? Ya Fattah, tomorrow you must go to court. Already your huzu is breaking from today. What will happen in front of the honorable judge? As they say, Allah alone knows how many of them are honorable. But nevertheless, so we say that what you're going to read. Read, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah. Ya Allah, you are the one who grants victory. How many times we read it and always Allah gives us victory? So every name and attribute of Almighty Allah, powerful meaning and a potent message, make it your ma'amul, O Muslim. Ma'amul, your routine, part of your daily timetable. How we have breakfast, supper, and whatever, breakfast, lunch, and supper. So this must be part of our nature, our spiritual food. Ghizahi ruhani, our spiritual food that we read daily. The 99 names of Almighty Allah, the love for Almighty Allah will increase. Our iman and faith and conviction will be enhanced. And the mahabba and love for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also improve. Walladheena amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. Those who possess the true iman, they intensely in love with Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
The next question, where is the museum in Makkah located?
MashaAllah, that when we were there for Hajj, may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala take us to the Haramain Sharifain, take us to Majidul Aqsa, bar Haziri Nasib Farma. Ya Allah, take us to Haramain Sharifain time and time again. Each one of us who wants to go for Umrah, you want to go for Hajj, read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 128. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Oh Allah, show us the places of Umrah and Hajj, the pilgrimage, and forgive us, Ya Allah. Head to toe, we are sinners, we are transgressors, we are not fit to come there, Ya Allah. That sarapa gunagar, we are sinners, everything we did, Allah forbid. Almost every sin we have committed, Allah forbid. But forgive us, Ya Allah. Have mercy on us. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Indeed, O Allah, you are all forgiving, very, very merciful. So read that abundantly. Allah will make us duyufur rahman, make us duyufur nabiyyil mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We go to Makkah mukarrama, Madinah munawwara, become the mehman and the guest of Almighty Allah jalla wala, and the guest of habibuna mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know where the Darut Tawheed Intercontinental Hotel is, the nearest hotel basically to the Haram Sharif. So behind it, then you will find that where the new Hilton and all that is, that Shari Ibrahim Khalil, so that road there. So you just walk a little bit up, there's a small bin Dawood there. You just pass that, the Dawood Mota bin Dawood, and you will see there's a lane there. And then we are Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So remember our name, that is called Ma'ariz Sahaba, the exhibition of the Sahaba, subhanallah. They start from Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. because she embraced Islam in the initial phases. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the wahi and revelation, Iqra bismi surah Alaq, the first five verses, and Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to his beloved wife and spouse, Sayyida Khadija binti Khuwaylid al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. She was a pillar of strength for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they take you, there are 9 different halls there and exhibition centers, and the amount of information you can receive there is an encyclopedia actually. And they end off with the 4 schools, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, who are his teachers, Hamad, and then it goes to Ibrahim Nakhi, and then Alqama and Aswad, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, who are his teachers, Imam Malik, who are his teachers, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. So they will bring you from the time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving the wahi and revelation right till the 4 schools of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The place is called Ma'arid Sahaba. They charge 15 riyals per person, but if you are above 60, then it is free of charge. And if you go in big groups, 20, 30, 50 people, then it's 10 riyals per person. So yes, it is a wonderful place that you, the brothers, should try and visit, and inshallah iman taza ho jayega, inshallah wa iman will increase. You must read the notes that are written there about the beloved students and companions of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Shukran. The next question: I am going to Taif for the day. Please advise on the important places I should visit.
MashaAllah, excellent questions coming in. That yes, we've been to Taif on several occasions. Those of you going for Umrah, perform your own Umrah from Medina Munawwara first. Or you're going direct from here to Jeddah on Saudi Airlines. Then remember, fasten your ihram. 45 minutes, 1 hour, make intention, everything before you land in Jeddah. You cannot make intention in Jeddah at the airport and so forth, or in the hotel day in Jeddah. Then a dam will be compulsory. You will have to slaughter a goat or a sheep. You're going via Dubai, you're going via Cairo, you're going via Istanbul, and you're going to Makkah first from Jeddah. So remember that in those places, just tie your ihram, and half an hour, 1 hour before landing in Jeddah, you make your intention. So I'm just mentioning this because many thousands of people from different parts of the world are going to the Haramain Sharifain. Now let's go forward. Now you are in Makkah Mukarramah. Now with your visa, you can go to Taif, inshallah. So what you're going to see in Taif, if you have a good taxi driver, remember that, tell him these 3-4 things before you embark on the journey. Tell him Zahab Iyab. Zahab Iyab will be, you want to go with him, you want to return with him, and he must show you all these places there in Taif. Number 1, Abdullah bin Abbas, Ra'isul Mufassirin, Mustafa. He was not even baligh, he was not even mature when Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, walam yahtalim, and Hajjatul Wida, he was not even baligh. But the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him. Allahumma allimhu ta'wil. Ya Allah, teach him the interpretation of the noble Quran Sharif. Open Mishkat Sharif, open Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. Then he is buried there, and that is the biggest masjid there in Taif, called Masjid Abdullah bin Abbas. If you know Arabic, then you will see his profile is written there on the wall. And you will see it's written there, subhanallah, that the day he passed away, Muhammad bin Hanafiya rahimahullah performed his Salatul Janazah, the son of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. Now they gave him ghusl, they bathed him. Now the shrouding was taking place, the takfeen, the kafan. A bird came, hamamatun bayda, and that white bird also went inside. Sahaba say, we looked and looked, we could not find it. They buried him with that white bird after Salatul Janazah, obviously. What is that white bird? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is showing us. There are certain khasan khuda, awliyaullah, sahaba, the greatest people after Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So their actions, their a'mal salihah takes a certain shape and a form. So the wonderful great actions of Abdullah bin Abbas took the shape of this white bird and it went with him. So that you call tafa'ul, a good sign and a good omen. So make sure you go there, inshallah. Second one, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started the work of da'wah tabligh there in Makkah Mukarramah. Majority of the people, they went against the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the message and the messenger, peace be upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the initial phases and stages, let me go to Ta'if. And there when he went, people mocked and jeered, and they spat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, crying, begging Allah, Allahumma inni ashku ilayk. Go read the dua of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day we were in Taif, and the dua was in front of me. We read the whole dua in Taif. So anyway, one person comes by the name of Addas. He brings water, he brings grapes to Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salam asks him, from where are you? He says, Ninwa. Ninwa is in Iraq. So then Nabi alayhi salam says, my brother is from there. Meaning Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. He was so elated, excited, he kissed the Mubarak hands of the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He embraced Islam as well. There's a masjid they call, which 90% of the people don't even know when they are there in Taif or in Makkah. Masjid Addas. So go there as well. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquers. You must remember the conquest of Makkah takes place in Ramadan, in the 8th year of the Hijrah, 21st of Ramadan. After that, then the Battle of Hunain takes place, which Almighty Allah has mentioned and enshrined in the Noble Quran. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. There the tribe of Hawazin were there, and the Muslims were granted victory with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. So this is your chronological table and the sequence. The conquest of Makkah, then the Battle of Hunain, and thereafter Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Umrah also. Remember, in the month of Zulqa'dah, from Jirana, you should go there as well. So Nabi 30 kilometers out of Makkah. Then Nabi alayhi salam even went to Taif, and there were pockets of resistance. So Nabi alayhi salam defeated them as well. So these are the important places. Then, O people, the Zairin to Taif, O visitor, you're going to Taif, then you must come to Asailul Kabir. Then on your return trip, come to the Miqat. And that Miqat is called Sailul Kabir. Speak to your taxi driver, otherwise you'll have big problems afterwards. Tell him all these places we want to go to, what you're going to charge us, 500 riyals, 1,000 riyals, whatever. But take us all these places, Zahab, Iyab, going and coming. So in that way, there your life will be easy. Come to Sailul Kabir, and that is your Miqat. And then read your 2 rakat salat there. Wonderful, excellent facilities there. You can take a bath there, you can make your wudu there, everything there. And then you read your 2 rakat salat, and from there you perform your umrah. To perform this umrah from Taif is compulsory, according to the Hanafi scholars, when you are returning from Taif to Makkah. And remember, according to Hanbali, Shafi's and them, is not compulsory. But remember, Hanafi say, if you went to Taif and you come back without an umrah, then a dam means blood. You will have to slaughter a goat or a sheep in Makkah or Mina any time of the year. So that is the story. Therefore, they call it history. History. Break up the words, history. So that is our story, your story regarding Taif. Allah Jalla wa Ala protect the Haramain Sharifain and Masjidul Aqsa min kulli su'in wa makruh. Ya Allah, protect all our holy places from the enemies of Islam.
Jazakallah. The next question, can Mufti Saab please advise from where can we acquire the print and audio material of Mufti Saab, and from where can we purchase the Markaz Sahaba decoders?
MashaAllah, that the brothers are interested in getting all the material that we are giving out and disseminating here on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In my trip now to Eastern Transvaal, we still call it Eastern Transvaal because one collective name, but we know that now it is part of Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga, where the sun rises from, so eastern side, you see. So anyway, so that is now, mashallah, Komatipoort, and then Malalan, and then there's White River, Nelspruit, and then we find that Nas. Nas is a place next to Komatipoort, and that is where our Somali brothers and sisters are. We had a wonderful program there. Nevertheless, and then Nelspruit and Barberton and all these places. So there, so many people were asking me regarding the Markaz Sahaba and so forth. So let's give you all the information. So in that way there, inshallah, you will find it easy for you to access this information. Number one, that those of you who know how to use the internet and what have you, most of the people know that nowadays. So in that way there, what you do is you go to the website, and that is www.muftiakhusen.net. So all our lectures, nasiha, and all that you will find there. Alhamdulillah, we thank all our brothers there, Hafiz Muhammad Basa, and our brother Hafiz Suhail Wahid, and all the brothers of brother Habib, and all of them who are involved in that. Second one will be that you want Markaz Sahaba, our radio, with Allah's help, Adam in Fadli Rabbi. So www.markazsahaba.com. So markazsahaba.com. Those of you who want the daily nasiha, so today also when we were there in the majlis of Hazrat Mufti Rizal Haq Sahib Hafidhullah, one of my students from Newcastle was there, and he said his wife wants the daily nasiha. So those of you who want to receive the daily nasiha, so mashallah, they had saved this number in your contact list. And we must place on record our sincere thanks and appreciation to Maulana Ahmad Dokrat Hafidhullah. It was his initiative. Inshallah, I'll be returning tomorrow from overseas. Allah bring them back safely. 076-731-0686. So 076-731-0686. Those of you beyond the borders of South Africa, +27 76 731 0686, and inshallah, save it in your contact list, and then just send a WhatsApp. Don't make long stories, just put one word there, subscribe, that's all. And inshallah, Maulana Ahmad will include your Mubarak blessed name in the list, and after 1 week or 4, 5, 6 days, you will receive it from Maulana Ahmad Dokrat or our student there, brother Abdul Haq, and all, may Allah make it easy for you. Regarding our Markaz Sahaba decoders, alhamdulillah, if you are here in the lands area, then just contact us. It is 695 rand each, and if you want the whole box, then mashallah, there are 10 units there, and then it is 6,500 rand. If you are in the Durban area, mashallah, you can go to the IG Hussein shop there in, you know, Overport, or the shop of the Al Ansar, the media and book center there. They are also selling it 6.95. Or Hafiz Hussein Wadi, mashallah, he is there in the Al Huda school. You can contact him directly and he'll give you all the details. And if you are in the Northern Natal region, my brother is there, Bashir Karwa. So inshallah, he's also got some stocks there, inshallah. So you can contact Haji Bashir Karwa there in Ladysmith, inshallah. So that is how you can purchase the decoders, inshallah.
Jazakallah. We will now go for a break and inshallah resume with the questions after the break.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.